Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm.
Joining us for the remainder of this first hour of Issues Etc., Deaconess Pam Nielsen will be teaching a Sunday school lesson, as we usually do with her. Today in Luke chapter 18, Jesus calms a storm. If you attended Sunday school only one time a year, you probably heard this story, one of the most familiar. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. Based in St. Louis, CPH has a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
Very well. Strikes me that you might have a real wedge here for getting the kids' attention on this story, because I know an awful lot of kids, perhaps even some of us adults as kids, who were just terrified of storms, much less storms in the middle of a big lake.
Well, that's right. And it's summer, and most of the country has had its share of storms, at least about two-thirds of the country, I think. So it's very real. And this is really the theme story for all of these summer lessons, because it's in this text, these few short verses in Luke chapter 8, where someone proclaims, "Even the wind and waves obey him," speaking of Jesus, the Son of God. And that is really what this is all about. All these stories we've covered, how God and his Son, Christ, use creation to make a point, to bring about salvation, and here's another one of those. So you've got a New Testament story. We've been in the Old Testament most of the summer, and now we've got the disciples rowing out to sea. Jesus is tired, the text tells us. And he sets about sleeping in the boat, and they get out from the shore, and a storm blows up. And as I've been reading in the commentaries today, the way the mountains are around the lake, the wind rolls down them, and these kind of violent storms are pretty common there. The disciples used to them, you know, not a surprise that there's a storm, but perhaps a surprise that a storm is hitting them now while they're out in the middle of nowhere in the water. And you're right, they're terrified, like we are as kids, or some of us have been in the past couple weeks here in St. Louis with some of the storms. They're frightened, and Jesus sleeps through it all, which is interesting too. And so they wake him up. They have to wake him up, and they call, you know, "Master, Master, we are perishing." They cut right to the chase, not anything less than, "We are perishing." They're certain of it. And he awakes, and it's a beautiful text. It says he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves. He simply spoke to them and told them to stop. It says, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And then he looks to his disciples, and he says, "Where is your faith?" And the text tells us that they were afraid, and they marveled, talking to each other, "Who then is this that he commands even winds and waters, and they obey him?" So, wonderful story here.
When we come back, I want to delve a little deeper into this. The contrast is not hard to see. I mean, you're going to catch it if you read carefully through this text in Luke chapter 8. You will see that here's a tired Jesus, so tired that he is sleeping through the whole thing. He's been worn out by the crowds, by the way. And he's sleepy, like any of us would be. He is tired out by his long exertions, and this is a great time for him to take his rest. So tired that he's sleeping through this storm that is terrifying, even to the point of death, his own disciples. And yet even sleepy Jesus can master the waves and the wind, can command them. So when we come back from this break, kind of to the point of this whole summer's study, as Pam had pointed out, is there anything that Jesus cannot use to his ends of saving us? Do we do well to ever put any limits on what Jesus says he can do and promises he will do? We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House on the uniqueness of the Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
That in every lesson, at every level in Growing in Christ, we point out salvation in Christ Jesus, forgiveness of sins, life forever in Christ, so that stories aren't taught as great miracles or moral stories or moments in time, hero stories. They're taught always with Christ in full view, Christ as our Savior from sin, death, and the devil. And that makes all the difference, because that's what matters for eternity, not how wowed the children are this week with the coolness of the story and the miracle that's presented. It's all about Christ, and that's why we call it Growing in Christ.
You can receive free samples of Growing in Christ for your Sunday school by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040 or check out Growing in Christ at cph.org.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues, Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues, Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues, Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. We're looking at Luke chapter 8, beginning at the 22nd verse, the familiar and short story of Jesus calming the storm. Before the break, Pam, I had mentioned that it seems a contrast here, that Jesus is so tired physically that he can sleep through this, and that must have been something to sleep through. I mean, I can sleep through a storm, but I'm inside my house. I usually have the fan going, and I mean, occasionally we'll be woken by a storm, but I'm a pretty sound sleeper. I would have to be very tired to sleep through one in sleeping in the stern of a boat that was actually in the middle of a lake. And yet, even sleepy Jesus masters the wind and the waves.
Yeah. You have such a great contrast going on here between the divine and human natures of Christ. I mean, it's the human nature, right, that's tired from the crowds and the preaching and the miracles, and you know, he is physically tired, and we all can relate to that. We get that, and we go home from a day's work and can relate to that. And yet, Jesus, the Son of God, the divine incarnate Son of God, is able to wake up from that deep sleep and perform this miracle with his very word. And this takes you back to the beginning of time, to creation, when sin entered the world and everything was thrown into disarray. And God spoke creation into being, and now you have his Son speaking order here with his words and calming creation that is really run amok since that fall into sin. And it's this Son, Jesus, who in this instance, in the casting out of demons and healing blind men and healing the lame and all of those things, is marching to that great ultimate miracle where he restores us to God fully, the now and the not yet, right? We'll see it all fully once we're in heaven and the new heavens and the new earth. But this is a glimpse of that, and it's supposed to wake up these disciples who are sleepy in their faith. They haven't yet got it, have they?
Now, you mentioned creation. I'm glad you did, because maybe this is an opportunity, at least at the child's level. This is a rather complex thing to try and impress upon them, but at each child's level, to draw the necessary connection between what we teach to be the truth about God's creation, the Genesis account, and Jesus' incarnation into this creation, his mastery over this creation, and especially how he promises to deliver the forgiveness of sins to us through elements of the created world. Make that connection for us and talk about how necessary it is.
Well, it really is. It's an important thing, and it's why we want kids in Sunday school every week, because we build on these things. But you're right. Creation, God speaks, and the world is created. And he sends his son to enter this creation, to become one of us, to live and suffer and die among us, so that he can take on the sins, the brokenness of creation that broke back in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned, and to restore it, to put it back together. You can talk to a kid about Humpty Dumpty falling off the wall, you know, and he puts it back together. And this is the Son of God who does that, and he does it for us, specifically for you and I. We receive that. We have it, obtain it through his word and through his sacraments. The Holy Spirit working through the word preached and proclaimed to us and through our baptism, where faith is put into us, into our hearts and minds, and through the simple bread and wine that becomes his body and blood for us, forgiveness of sins, giving us forgiveness, life, and salvation. Those created elements, bread and water, wine, people, humans speaking and preaching God's word. That's all part of God's creation, and as he has in all of the span of salvation for us, he uses his creation to bring about his plan to have us forever with him in heaven.
So how would you finally apply this for children sitting in the classroom, for adults listening to us now? How would you apply both the assurance that is found here, or let's put them in the right order, Jesus' rebuke of their fear and their lack of faith? Where is your faith? He doesn't deny that they have it. He just wonders at their fear. And then the comfort of knowing that we have a Christ who is with us, literally with us, there in the boat, whatever the boat may be.
Well, it is a beautiful thing that Luther, you know, talks about the church being the boat, the ark, if you will, that protected Noah and his family in that terrible flood, and here the disciples protected with Jesus with them in the boat. So many of our churches are designed like a boat for that very reason, to be a visual connect to these instances, so we understand that we are safe in the ship of the church. We're going to pass through this life. There's going to be storms. There's going to be troubles, trials, and temptations. But through it all, Christ goes with us, and he reminds us of that, of his presence, when we feel like we can't see it or know it. We have our baptism, we have his word, we have his body and blood on our tongues and in our mouths. Those things he gives us so that no matter what assails us, wind, waves, whatever, he is there with us, and he goes with us all the way. All the way he went with us, for us, to the cross, so that we can go all the way to heaven with him forever. And that's the message you want to talk about with the children. You certainly don't want to leave them thinking that, all we have to do is believe and pray and the storms will go away. No, in this life, it's a broken world, and you got to talk about that. Broken by sin, their sin, our sin, The whole world is broken by sin. And so we have bad storms, there are bad things, there are troubles, but our Lord Jesus, the Son of God, who came to be one of us and to die for us, goes with us all the way in the boat of the church, carrying us safely home, home to heaven, someday when it is our time to join him there.
With only about 30 seconds here, I guess kind of back to where we started, kids are still going to go home, and then when the big stuff blows through like it did at the Wilkin House before, the only one still afraid of that in our house is our 13-year-old border collie. We've never gotten her over to the fear. She runs to the bottom of the steps, but there are kids who will. This is a real circumstance for their life. They'll be woken up in the middle of the night and call for mom and dad. Speak that word of comfort to them that Christ is there in the bedroom. About 30 seconds, Pam.
We have to remind them of that they are Jesus' little lamb, that they are baptized. This is why Luther said, make the sign of the cross daily, remember your baptism. When I'm afraid, this is what I do. I remember my baptism. When my children are afraid, we talk about that. We open the hymnal and we find those hymns of comfort and assurance. We open the Psalms and we pray them together. Those are the things that God gives us in this life that we live in the boat of the church in this turbulent life, and we've got to help children to see that. Pray with them, share God's word with them, and hold them close.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis. CPH has a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or just call Concordia Publishing House. They'll send you a free sample of Growing in Christ, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or again at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for Growing in Christ. Pam, thank you for being our guest.
Thank you. Blessings, Pastor.
In the second hour of the program on this Monday afternoon, July the 26th, David Ramirez will join us. He attended an ELCA seminary for 3 years before enrolling in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to be a pastor, and brings a special insight into what just happened yesterday, the official recognition of 7 openly gay pastors in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. I think the story says they had been ordained, but they had not been recognized, and as of yesterday, they have been recognized. Now, this is just the logical progression of where the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has been going for a long time. This should surprise no one. We'll see what Pastor David Ramirez has to say about it on the other side of the break. And then, later in the second hour of the program, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery of Patrick Henry College will be our guest. You've seen the story. It was on ABC News Nightline. Atheists are, among other things, mocking Christianity and what they're calling de-baptizing people. They use a blow dryer to do it. We'll see what Dr. John Warwick Montgomery has to say about the new atheism in the second hour of the program. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.